Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I wanna hear her say,
well, one time, one
time, one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time.
Ooh, I just
I wanna
hear her say,
well,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time.
All I wanna do is hear you say it
one time.
Write my name in the book, call me
one time.
That's all I really need, just
one time.
I can't wait till I see ya
one time.
Keep going, have it back. You fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold Street, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
We thank you, Father God. Well done, well done. Y'all, welcome to Bible study. How's everybody doing? How you doing, Miss Connie, Mama, Angie? How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Amen. 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 Good. We're going to give everybody a little bit to get on today. The Bible study, we're still under the series, setting the series of pulling our strongholds. And I'm just happy what God is doing in this season of my life and everybody else. I'm just believing God to do it for breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Pastor Manning is running behind this evening. He'll take care of some business. Some family business, so he'll be right on as soon as we get back in here. So we thank God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this moment in time. Oh God, we thank you for the set time that you've allowed us to come boldly to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior. Father God, we thank you for revelation and knowledge, oh God, that you are supplying to us this day and this evening, oh God. So we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name, Father God, that you will open up our understanding, open up our heart and minds to receive all that will be taught in this Bible study time. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, allow the scripture, oh God, and the teaching to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and being grafted on our hearts and minds, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you would keep us in perfect peace all the days of our life. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for life, health, and strength that coming from you, oh God. Thank you for the life, health, and strength of everyone that's on today for Bible study. Father God, Lord, I ask in Jesus Christ's holy name, Lord, that you do a new thing in us, Father God. Lord, we pray for turnaround, oh God, for the good, oh God. And I decree and declare by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the goodness of the Lord operating through and about our lives, even right now, as we trust and believe. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you. I come against every spirit of confusion, every spirit of doubt, every spirit of deceit right now, every spirit of forgetfulness, every spirit of fatigue and frustration. I come against every fighting spirit, every spirit of heaviness and hopelessness, every spirit of hallucination and impurity, indifference and decision. I come against every spirit of jealousy and authority right now, every spirit of manipulation. I come against it with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I come against every spirit of oppression and depression, paranoia, passivity. I come against every spirit of pride right now, procrastination and stagnation and rebellion and rejection, restlessness and rationalization right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I come against every spirit of self-righteousness and self-pity, selfishness and self-deception right now, with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. I come against every stubborn spirit right now, every spirit of strife and stress and stiff-neckedness and struggling and suspicion. I come against the spirit of suicide and temper and tension right now. I come against the spirit of tiredness and timidity and uncleanness right now, with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. We bless your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen, 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 amen. Amen. Welcome, y'all. Y'all forgive me again. You know I'm dealing with my tooth, and it's just, it's not hurting me. It's just uncomfortable because how it is, it's broken. So it's causing my tongue to do something different. So bear with me, you all. I hope I don't sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. Because, you know, my words probably get jumbled up. It's just because I'm dealing with my tongue. And so my tongue is doing its own thing, trying to avoid the tooth. But we thank God all is well. I'm not in any pain or anything like that, just a little discomfort. But I thank God that all is well and good with me and my house. Again, welcome to Bible study. If it's your first time in Bible study, we are studying strongholds. You are normally Pastor Manning is on to Birthday Manning to give us the recap from last Wednesday. So I'll do the recap. As we're studying strongholds, you all. Welcome, Sister Dilly, Sister Northern, and Sister Green, and Sister Henderson, and Sister Hudson. We welcome you all, and everyone that's coming in right now, those who are online with us as well. Remember, in Bible study, your line is open, so you do have the authorization to speak. All you have to do is say, excuse me, Pastor, and we'll let you come in and ask a question. We do have times where we'll receive comments and questions in regard to the teaching on this evening. So, again, we're studying on strongholds. Before we go forward, you all here in Bible study, if you have any questions, please do so at this time about last week or anything that you've learned so far. I'd be happy to answer those questions for you. If not, I'll just go ahead and do the recap from last week to kind of catch us up for those that were on last week or those who are just now chiming in with us today. So, does anybody have any questions or comments before I get started over the recap from last week? And remember, if you missed anything last week, you can always go back. The Bible studies are archived, so you can always go back and listen in to the Bible study if you missed it. So you can always go back and, you know, and hear the whole Bible study lesson again on Stronghold, the Stronghold series. Welcome, Sister Mackie. I see you around me sharing. So we were just asking if anybody had any comments or questions. If not, I'm going to go ahead and do the recap from last week. We're actually we're talking about several different things as we're studying the series of Stronghold. We are remember your line is open. So you got a lot of things going on the background. Just put us on mute. Come again.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. I can hear you. You have a question?
Hello. It's not about the Bible study. I just need to ask a question. When you pray and ask God for something, don't you sort of just leave it there and don't keep asking the same thing?
You can go back to reinforcement. Yeah, you can go back to reinforcement.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you probably looking at the scripture that says when they keep repeating, people are being redundant in their prayers. But I'll explain that to you a little bit more what that means. We'll say the same prayers. It's okay to go back for reinforcement of that thing and just believing,
Okay.
Once you pray about a believer, you know, you can go back. There's different ways to go back. But yeah, it's okay. I'll take that scripture back to you so you can understand what that means. When they were talking about being redundant, he was talking about the ones that go out there in front of people to be seen, to be continued to teach over and over. In the street to be
saved.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Okay. Amen. We're gonna talk about prayer, understanding how we pray, what the Bible says about praying. It's so much that we're gonna be open up to here, and I just thank God for the up and coming, Bible studies. It's gonna help a lot of us, and even in discipleship training class and minister training class. You don't have to be a minister to be a part of minister training class. Ordained minister, because we are all called to minister. You are, whether you have been ordained in the church. Put the phone on mute for me, please, Mama. You're getting all your background.
It's probably mine.
Unless you want to speak.
My phone is on mute. That's somebody else.
No, it's probably mine.
That's somebody else.
You know, Mama. You're not on mute. Well, whoever else is it, I got to always blame my mom. But anyway, whoever else is it, put your phone on mute. Because I know if I say my mama, she won't get upset with me. It may be you, but I'm just going to say my mama. That way I don't have to fight with nobody. So anyway, put your phone, whoever it is, put your phone on mute. It's Pastor Manning. Oh, okay. Welcome. I didn't know you were on. God bless you.
Amen.
Good to be here. I'll just have to go over the recap with everybody.
Okay, I'll go over the recap.
Okay.
Okay. All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Last Wednesday, we left off with powerful weapons. We left off with powerful weapons. And we did study on powerful weapons. First one was binding and loosening. Binding and loosening is powerful weapons. Reference scripture came from Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 19, binding and loosening. And then we studied a powerful weapon of agreement, and it also came from the same place, Matthew chapter 18, and the same scripture, 18 and 19. You know, we have a powerful weapon. We have a powerful weapon of thanksgiving, powerful weapon of thanksgiving. And reference to John chapter 6, verse 11. John chapter 6, verse 11. A powerful weapon of thanksgiving. And we left off here. He stops here with the last one, a powerful weapon of praising God. There is one more that we did not get a chance to get to, but this is what we left off at right here, praising God. Yes. And reference Psalms 8. Verses 2 and Acts chapter 16, scriptures 19 through 26. So that's what we'll start at right here. You know, we thank God for this information. Amen.
Amen. Amen, y'all. Again, we were talking about powerful weapons last week, and we were able to get all the way through to praise. So we have binding, loosening, as Pastor said, agreement, thanksgiving, praise, and then proclamation. The power of proclamation is the one weapon the church needs. You all, we need as a church to to there is really danger in these days, the power of proclamation. So when God called Moses to go to Egypt and deliver the Israelites out of slavery, Moses said, in effect, but God, I don't have anything. And in response, God asked him, what is that in your hand? And we find this in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. So to paraphrase, Moses replied that it is just my shepherd's rod. And God said, throw it down on the ground. So when Moses did what God commanded, his rod became a snake. And he ran away from his own rod. So he failed to realize the power he had in his own hand. So God then said, Moses, all you need to deliver the Israel is that one rod. So he was telling him all you need is that one rod to deliver Israel. So God said, go and use it. So we see in Exodus chapter 3, you can write this down, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and 4 and 17 here, the one rod we're looking at, and with that one rod, Moses wrested the rule of Egypt. Now, you all forgive me. You remember my Spanish accent, so if you can't understand me, just say, Pastor, I didn't get that. So and with that one rod, Moses wrested the rule of Egypt out of the hand of Pharaoh.
I didn't get that.
About the release of the Israelites. Come again?
I didn't get that. Where you at, Acts what?
No, Exodus.
Oh, Exodus. I thought
Exodus.
You said Acts. I'm sorry. Exodus what?
Mm-hmm. Chapter 3, verse
3.
1 through 4. Mm-hmm.
1 through 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Acts 3.
All right. Okay, so, and here he brought about the release of the Israelites on God's behalf. And we can also see, we're looking at Exodus, while we already at Exodus 5, chapter 5 through 16 here, you all. And so you may be saying, I don't have anything, but God is saying, what do you have in your hand? You're looking at yourself saying, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. How can I do anything? I don't have anything. And God is telling you, what do you have in your hand? So for most of us, all we have in our hand is the Bible. That's all we have in our hand is the Bible. That is all you need. Just take that rod and stretch it out. You stretch out the rod by making proclamations of what the Bible says concerning you.
Yes, Lord.
So I encourage you never to let a day pass without making a proclamation from the Scriptures. Therefore, let's close. Let's go ahead and wrap up this one. That's proclamation we're talking about taking a bold step and making Deuteronomy 33, verse 25 to 27, our proclamation. As we decree and declare here, the bolts of our gates will be iron and bronze. And I'm coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 3, you all, verse 25 through 27. The Bible says the bolts of our gates will be iron and bronze, and our strength will equal our days. There is no one like the God of Jerusalem, who rides on the heavens to help us and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out our enemy before us, saying, destroy him. Amen. So that settlement, you all, if you make proclamations like that on a daily basis, and my husband, we're known for, he's known for doing it daily. He does his daily. I do mine daily. And if you've been in our prayer times that we've been having intercessory prayer here at midnight and midday, we do decree and we declare over our lives, proclaiming over our lives that we are this and we are that, and God has already done the battle. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. You know, those are making proclamations according to Scripture. You know, we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. You know, we are saved by Christ. You know, if you're decreeing the clan and just a proclamation and do those on a daily basis, you should see that the removal of the strong man over your life, over your family, over your church, or even over your business, or whatever you have, over your finances, over your debt. So add to your proclamation the weapon of warfare. And as we examine it here in this series of studying strongholds, as well as the other weapons we have already covered, binding and loosing, agreement, thanksgiving, and praise, and you should be well on your way to victory in the realm of spiritual warfare. So, you all, as we continue on, we will take these principles further as we deal with the role of the church in the nation, specifically the responsibility with Christians carrying for removing the high places and pulling down strongholds. Anyone have any questions?
I can't hardly hear.
You can't hear?
Hello? No, there's a whole bunch of like crickets in the background.
Okay, because somebody moved. They have to put your phone on mute until you're ready to speak. I'm not sure who it is, but if you can just mute your call. And I leave the lines open in Bible study so that we can all hear. So maybe I'll close the line so that way we can give our comments at that time. So let me just go ahead and mute everybody's call, and then when it's time for comments, and I'll open it up for you. All right, we'll do it like that. So maybe that'll help. So it narrows it down to just me and my husband who be probably making the noise. Amen. So, okay,
all right.
You all. So we're going to move
on. Don't blame it on
here.
Me, beautiful wife.
Blame it on you, okay. So either me or you. So they said they can't get it. It'll be me or you. So hopefully that works.
Amen.
Because I've muted everybody's line. But I'll open it back up for any comments or questions. So at this point, I'll go ahead and open up the line. They got the line again. If you have any comments or questions so far, please ask your question at this time, and then we'll, if not, we'll move forward. Anybody have any questions? Okay. All right, so you all will move on. We'll continue on as we're studying Strongholds. You're just now signing in with us. We're still studying the series of Pulling Down Strongholds, you all, and we just got through covering, finishing up from last week, the powerful weapons that we use to defeat the strong man, binding and loosing, agreement, coming into agreement, thanksgiving, God, giving God thanks and praise is another one, and then proclamation, decreeing the plan over our life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then we're going to move on to tearing down the high places and understanding what that means, tearing down the high places, you all. I'll give you a chance to write that down. We're talking about now tearing down the high places. Tearing down the high places. Okay, I'll give you all a minute there. And then we'll cover a little bit, and then I'll open the lines and see if you all have any comments. All right. So tearing down the high places, and we're going to talk about the offense of the high places. As we tear down high places, and what is the offense of high places? What does God say about these high places? So in our examination of the concept of high places, I want to issue a challenge to you, right, from the start, to ask you to be fully engaged in what we are about to cover here. To this purpose, let's look at an incident from the life of Jesus, you all. Throughout the course of his ministry, Jesus was regularly confronted by the religious leaders of his day, who were often intent upon trapping him in an attempt to discredit him in word or deed. So during one such conflict, one of the scribes, impressed by Jesus' wisdom, stepped forward and asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest of all the commandments?" Now, we see this in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. That's Mark chapter 12, verse 28. What was Jesus' answer? He said, "You shall love the Lord your God." Now, note carefully what follows you all. "With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." Amen? And that's Mark 12 and 30.
Amen.
So we must not forget that the mind as well as the heart, soul, and strength is vital to loving the Lord. So I stress this point because of, you know, my experience, my husband's experience, the various stages of Christianity, and you know, me have been a minister and me going out to different parts of the world and different parts of the city and ministering to different numerous of different denominations, no matter whether they were Methodist, whether they were Catholic, whether they were Christian, whether they were Baptist, or whatever they consider, whatever their denomination was. So many of these groups believe that when they came to a meeting, they could safely leave their minds in their cars or in the parking lot because they would not need them in church, and you need your mind in church. So we have to stress, you know, even more so to learn to think. So we have to think. And so if we're going to be able to defeat Satan, we have to think, and we talked about that more. And you are going to need your mind in order to fully grasp the importance of even this topic on removing the high places. So I want you to set your mind, you all, to just focus on this so you can really understand what this is. So we're going to talk about here repeated warning, you all, that was given in the Bible. In the biblical day, the idea for our emphasis in this particular chapter here, as we're talking about in the series here about pulling down strongholds and understanding. Hold on, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. All right. The idea, the interest here as we go forward here, repeating a warning. First, again, you all, we're talking about, we're in the series, people still coming in, so y'all want to repeat myself a little bit as we're talking about pulling down strongholds. We're still studying this series, you all, so we're talking about the offense of high places, you all, and we're tearing down, you know, talking about tearing down these high places, and where do we see this in the Bible, and what happened during this time. When we look at the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, a reoccurring statement in those books captured, you know, my attention, but the high places were not removed. So nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. Now, we see, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 15 and 14, you all, and 22 and 43, we're in 1 and 2 Kings, and 2 Kings chapter 12 and 3, and chapter 14 and 4, and chapter 15 and 35 verse. The Bible says, I said to myself, if God has taken the trouble to have, you know, these statements repeated so many times in his word, there must be some importance to it. So I made a mental note that there was something about high places that I needed to look into. So, and it happened in times and times again, you know, making that mental note of pending problems and just, you know, about high places. What is God talking about these high places and understanding what these high places are and, you know, what the Bible is talking about these high places. So instead of these issues of high places, you know, be prepared to make a mental effort, you all. You would need to put yourself back in time. So into a period of history that is very remote, into a culture that is very different from ours today. So as you do, you will readily see why God wants us to understand the Old Testament problem of high places. Because even that is going on here today, it is because this issue is significant for the church today. So it was for the Israelites and for the Israel at the time when God was physically warning his people about it. Amen. Let's see if anybody has any questions. I know my phone
give us those scriptures again. Give us those scriptures again.
Okay.
In 1 Kings and 2 Kings. You went through them pretty fast there. Give it to us again while we can reference them.
Okay. Give me just 1 second here. I got a technical difficulty going on. Hold on for me. I'm going to give y'all those scriptures again. All right, you all, I'm going to repeat myself. All right, I'm sorry about you all. I have to deal with some little people here. Amen. So I'm going to repeat those again. I opened up you all lines, so if you have any questions, you can. So we're coming again. It's 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 14. We're still in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 43. Remember, we're talking about high places here. And then 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 3, and then chapter 14, verse 4. And then it's chapter 15 still, verse 35, as we're talking about the high places. If
15
y'all need
to 45,
repeat that again,
you
said, I'm sorry.
You said 15 and 45. That was the last one you said in 1 Kings. 2 Kings.
Yes, the last one is going to be 15 and 35.
Oh, 35. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions? I do have your lines open right now. Do you have any comments or questions before we go further? Anyone? All righty.
Amen.
Okay. All right, then we'll continue on. Everybody had their phone on mute, so okay, we see that I don't have to close it up. All right, you all. So we're studying high places. Talking about the issues of high places here. So I want you all to open up your mind mentally, take a mental, have mental effort here so you can understand. You need to put yourself back in time into a period of history that is very remote, again, into a culture that is very different from ours right now. So as you do, you will readily see why God wants us to understand the Old Testament problem of high places, you all. So it is because this issue is significant, you all. As I stated earlier, it's very significant. All right, so we're going to talk about the place of true worship. Amen. We're going to talk about the place of true worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here we go, you all. When Israel entered the land that God had promised them, it was occupied by the Canaanites. So For these Canaanites were wicked people, and the essence of their wickedness was their worship of idols. So I believe idolatry is the greatest of all sins and the most disastrous in its consequences, you all. So to commit idolatry, and I'm going to say it again, idolatry, I-D-O-L-A-T-R-Y, you all, idolatry. To commit idolatry is to break the first commandment that God gives. That you shall have no other gods before me. And we find it in Exodus 20 and 3. Just bear with me. Come on, walk with me in this study. You shall have no other gods before me. I understand we're under a new covenant of grace and mercy, you all. But God says about this, you should not have any other gods before me. That's the first one. So in the Canaanite culture, idol worship were marked by abnormal practices, you all, including the sacrifice of infant children in ovens to a god named Molech. So they were sacrificing infant children, you all, to a god named Molech. So the Canaanites normally carried out those practices on what were called high places. These places were called high places, you all. High places were mountains or hills and stood about the surrounding country. So in most cases, tall, impressive trees grew on the hills. That is why you will find phrases like this, one repeated again and again in the historical and prophetic books of the Old Testament, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 2. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 2. If I'm moving too fast with the scriptures, you all remember you can always archive, go back and listen to it. And if you go back and listen to the archive Bible studies, you can speed it up or you can slow it down and listen to it. So if it's a part you already know, you can always forward, you know, you can always press it to go forward on those archive shows. You don't have to listen to everything to get what you missed. So, and again, that chapter, that the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and 2. So as we will see, those phrases are always associated with abomination of idolatry, you all. So ignoring God's warning here, the core purpose of a high place was to be a location for worshiping deities. So God had clearly warned the children of Israel about the high places before they went into the promised land. So we see that clear warning in the book of Deuteronomy where God told them, in effect, when you go into the land, I don't want you doing what the Canaanites have done. I have a different plan for you. I am appointing one place in a certain city where you can worship me and where you can offer your sacrifices. I don't want you to worship me in any other place. So God's warning to Israel about not using the high places was clear and emphatic, you all. So here is a portion of what he said to the Israelites through Moses. And you all will see that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1 through 6. And I'm going to read it for you. That's Deuteronomy chapter 12, 1 through 6. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, 1 through 6. The Bible says, these are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you to possess. All the days that you live on the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispose serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from their place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vow offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and flock. So here unmistakably God was saying, I am going to choose one place where I will put my name and where I will have my dwelling. That will be the only place I will permit you to offer sacrifices and worship to me. So we got that here. So we're going to move on, you all. If you have any comments or questions, the line is open for you to ask any questions at this time. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen.
I know this is different for a lot of you all, and you go, okay, what am I getting from this? What am I understanding? Because we're still studying the series of strongholds and understanding, pulling down strongholds and pulling, you know, in high places and making sure we're not worshiping these idols. Oh. Some people, they'll have, like, Buddha. They'll have these candles with different symbols and stuff. We want to make sure that we're not using that in our worship and our praise. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just agreeing with you. Even if you learn anything from strongholds, it's more than what you knew yesterday or last year, you know, possibly. So, you know, all that you can get, you know, get all that you can get out of it and, you know, and practice. You know, we're writing it down, you know, for practice, you know, for us to be in that place of knowing what to do. Yeah, you can always come back knowing what to do. Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to continue. We're going to talk about the place where God's name abides you all. So it would be some time before it became clear that Jerusalem was the place of God's sanctuary. We're first seeing, as we're already talking so far, what we've already above verses, you all, the verses we just stated. So many people don't realize it, but this is why the Jews worship at the western wall of the particular place today. That is near as they can come to the site because it is now occupied by a Muslim mosque. So the Jews are perfectly clear in their conviction here that there is no other location where they can offer sacrifice. So consequently, you are in their thinking, their whole future centers on regaining possession of their place because until they do, they cannot really offer sacrifice. So while you may find it hard to understand, you all, this mindset, it is a very controversial issue in the Middle East. So it is the focal point of the clash between Muslims and Jews, and it demonstrates to us that God's word is still remarkably relevant today. So we're going to go ahead and return. Let's return to our passage that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 11, you all. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 11, we're going to return to this passage here. The Bible says, and then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifice, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice of offerings which you vow to the Lord. And from these verses, we understand that God intended for there to be one place where he would put his name, and once that location was established, the children of Israel were not to worship in any other place. But we know that they were stiff-necked people and that they were disobedient in their ways. And so we're going to continue here talking as we're pulling down strongholds and setting the series, a source of continual conflict. You know, talking about how they were disobedient, how they did not, you know, listen, and what happened to them because they were disobedient, and while they continued to practice, you know, outside of what God told them to do. So we're going to talk about the source of continual conflict. You know, what was the continual conflict? What continued to happen? Will they continue putting themselves in? So the history of Israel from the establishment of the monarchy until the Babylonian captivity is marked by continual conflict regarding the high places. So the Israelites constantly struggle between obeying God by worshiping him in the appointed place and disobeying him by going back to the high places. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, we get an interesting glimpse of this struggle. So although what we are examining took place in the history of Israel 3,000 years ago, it has a very important application for us today, for you and for me today. So let us begin to lay the basis for this application. So we're going to read here, you all, still in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Here we're going to read, the Bible says, I'm going to repeat that for you all, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. The Bible says, now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. And then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. So at this point, the people were sacrificing to the Lord. They were not sacrificing to idols. yet they were sacrificing on the high places because the temple in Jerusalem where God was going to put his name was not yet completed. So let's talk about Solomon's weakness right now. So we're going to continue here in the passage from 1 Kings chapter 3, where we find a comparison between Solomon and David that speaks volumes, you all. When we look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 here, the Bible says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places." So here's conflict here. So here we see a significant difference between David and Solomon. David never worshiped at the high places, you all. Solomon did. So in a certain sense, that was the weakness that ultimately led to Solomon's downfall. When we look in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and 3, you all, can go to 2 Chronicles, or you could just write it down and go back to it later. 2 Chronicles 1 and 3, by contrast, and let's look at the account in 2 Chronicles here of something that took place before the temple was built when Solomon was made king, you all. The Bible says, "And Solomon, all the assembly with him, went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tabernacle of meeting with God was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness." So notice that in the very next verse, the Bible makes a very important distinction that Gibeon was not Jerusalem. So, and then we look in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 4, you all. The Bible says, "But David had brought up the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim to the place David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem." So David had grasped the fact that God wanted Jerusalem to be the place of worship. David did not take the ark to Gibeon. He took it to the place he had prepared for it in Jerusalem. So 2 Samuel describes David bringing the ark back to Israel after it had been recovered from the Philistines. So when we look in the Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, I'll give you all a chance to write that down. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. And this is for your information as we're studying strongholds so you can have an understanding as we continue this series. The Bible says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, you all, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." That was a mistake on her part. "So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had David had erected for it, not the tabernacle of Moses. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." So again, David understood the absolute importance of worshiping in the place of the Lord's appointment, which is Jerusalem, the city of David. So though the tabernacle of Moses was in Gibeon and the temple had not yet been built, David being a man after God's own heart, and we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, and also in New Testament, Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, "This place, Jerusalem, is the place where I am going to worship God." So please stay mentally engaged in the issues that we are covering here, you all, because they will have specific applications to our lives in the sections ahead. So as we continue to go ahead in this series, as we continue on, just pay attention, y'all. Be engaged mentally, because I know you're going, "What does this have to do, you know, with anything? You know, I'm not understanding." But if you just continue to, you know, hang in here, put your mind focused, you will get it. I guarantee that you will get it, and how this will help you, and how do you apply this to your life, you know. And that's the enemy trying to trick us. Say, "I don't need all that. I don't need to know all that." But when we don't know, that we don't know, you know, we don't understand how and why this is still happening in my life, and you know, while I'm praying and this and that, but you know, I'm saying things that allow the enemy to come in and what's happening and who are we connected to. So let's go ahead and move forward, you all, and we're gonna talk about missing the target. So certainly David's son Solomon followed him in much of what he had done, but Solomon departed from David in this one respect. Until the temple was built, he worshipped in high places. So you will find that later on in Solomon's experience, this seemingly minor discrepancy became a disease. So when you begin to depart a little from God's path, you will get farther and farther away from his ways the longer you go in that direction. So in 1 Kings chapter 11, we read how this process unfolded in Solomon's life. Understand, you all, I'm going to say this again to you all so you can understand, because I know a lot of people go, wait a minute, I don't get it. I'm lost. And what's going on here? But when we just, I need you to stay in, just stay engaged, because it's going to help us here. It's going to help us. Because, when we begin to depart a little from God's path, and this is what happened with Solomon, when we depart a little from God's path, you would get farther and farther away from his ways. And then the longer you go in that direction, you know, it'll take you off course. It'll open you up, you know, to so many other things. So, and I know people say, oh, I did this and I feel like I'm just falling off and I just got so far away from God because I've allowed this one thing to happen and I allowed another thing and I kept in that place, and it gets us further and further away from God and the truth. So when we look in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible tells us that Solomon built a high place for Kishmosh, and the abomination of Moab, you all, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. So we look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 8, tells us that Solomon built a high place for each of his foreign wives to worship her pagan idols. Then we read again when we look in the next two verses here, you all, in 9 and 10, which I'm going to read to you in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Look what Solomon did here. Look what Solomon did. So, and we look at these particular verses. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning these things that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Why is that, you all? Because he got these other people in his life. He had wives, so he was setting up things for him. It caused him to be disobedient and to go outside of what God told him to do. So God became angry with Solomon. So I trust you can see by now that this issue of high places is of tremendous importance in the sight of God. So here in chapter 11, we will cover more of the history of Israel's kings in relation to this issue, you all. And then we will make some striking applications so that you can have a more understanding of life application. How do I apply this to my life? You know, what does that mean to me? What does that have for me? What do I get from this? So if you have any questions at this time, please do so. Pastor, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I don't have anything.
All right, Mama. Sister Dillard, do you have anything? Sister Connie? Sister Matthew?
No, I've been fine along. No, I don't have anything. Very interesting.
Very interesting. I know, right?
Yes.
What about you, Aunt Sharon?
Read it.
Oh, yeah. Go back and read it. Yeah, for yourself. Read it for yourself. Mm-hmm. I know Bible says we kind of flow along, but when you go back and read it for mm-hmm. yourself and to get a better understanding, we'll talk about life application from what we're learning here, mm-hmm. and you know, pulling down high places and what God said about those high places, mm-hmm. and how that applies mm-hmm. to us, and how the enemy, you know, is, you know, crafty in all his ways, you know, when we don't know, you know, to operate in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we are saved by mercy and grace, but while we're living this life, there's so many things that's attacking us, and how do we overcome those mm-hmm. attacks? How do we destroy what the enemy is trying to do? It's basically what the life application. Yeah. It's basically what the study is about in life application. Not saying that you're not saved. Not saying that we under the old commandments. You know, we are under the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
As I was saying, it's just to help.
Yeah.
Help us. Okay. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions?
1 Kings would be my homework. I'm going to do the whole book.
Okay. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Okay, God bless you all. All right, so we're going to continue here, and then I'm just going to go a little bit over, and then we'll go ahead and close out, and then anybody have any questions or any comments or anything other outside of the Bible study we're studying, we'll open up to that as well. I know a lot of people are dealing with a lot. You just want to be able to vent, get some things out. You have any questions, let's start. We're going to go ahead and stop right there. And I'm just going to open it up for any questions or comments or anything right now. Then we're going to pick up next Wednesday on the tragic challenge of this, you know, the high places that they were worshiping at. So we're going to continue to pick up that on next Wednesday, the place of, as we're talking about, the high places, the offense of high places here, and tearing down these high places. And we're going to talk about the tragic patterns and then life application for us on next Wednesday. We got about, you know, about 15 minutes here. So if anybody has any questions or comments at this time, please do so. You know, we're not in a rush to finish the series. I want to make sure everybody understands, you know, because it's important that we have an understanding. Because if you don't have an understanding, then we'll be lost. I can give you directions to get somewhere, but if you don't understand the directions, you know, you'll be lost. You'll be going around and saying, I got the directions, but I'm lost. I don't have any understanding of them. So if you have any questions, please. Anybody?
So we've been, and so the last one was first Kings 11, what?
The last scripture was First Kings chapter 11, verse 9 through 10.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to do the whole thing.
Chapter 4, chapter 11. Come again.
Every chapter that you took us to has something to do with the whole topic that we talk about high places, like you were precepting, taking us through them, and to get the understanding of it.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible says it's so good. You know, it just pours into us. It's feeding, you know, feeding us. So anybody else have any questions? Jamel, you have any questions? Miss Connie?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
I just want to make sure you all are following me. I know it's a lot, and you go, oh, what's that? You know, that's a lot of information. So if you never read it and had an understanding of it, it could be like, oh, okay, well, I didn't even know that. Is that important to me to know? Do I really need to know that? You know, and, you know, how does that apply to us? So, you know, this month we're going to every crevice, every wide. We're making sure we overturn every rock, leaving no rock unturned, and every crack clean, because we know the enemy trying to operate in those places under rocks. And just like a snake, right, babe? A snake in the corners, in the cracks, under rocks, hiding.
Waiting to bite.
Waiting. My husband, it was a snake in the garage yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. What kind?
Babe, are you on the line? I see you there.
I'm here.
Okay, I was telling them about the snake that you found in the garage.
Okay.
I said, that's one thing about Bible study is to, you know what, to uncover those things, those schemes and techniques and those hidden places of Satan. You know, a lot of people going, that's a lot of information. And people are hang up because they don't understand. But if you just stay the course, you can understand how to apply. Because first we got to tell you about it, give you knowledge of it, then give you wisdom on how to apply the knowledge that you receive, you know, to your life and life application.
Yeah.
But I can't give you life application if I don't give you the knowledge and the information. A lot of people go back and research for yourself and see it for yourself. Okay, the Bible does say that. Then now we use wisdom on how to apply that information that we receive to our daily lives. You know what I mean? Not saying that we live in the time of the Israelites, but that same thing is still going on this very day. The Bible tells us nothing new about the sun. Anything that's going on that went on in the past is going on right now. There is nothing new.
Nothing new.
That's right.
Like we're talking about, you know, those hidden places. My husband went out to the garage, and there was a snake in the garage.
What kind was it?
I don't know, Barbara. Tell them about the snake in the garage.
I didn't observe him so closely to see what kind he was. You know, I really didn't observe him closely to see what color. I would say he would be like a brown looking color. I wasn't going to say anything about I wasn't going to say anything about it because, you know, I don't know. Some people may have phobias of snakes or spiders or things like that. So I wasn't going to say
if it had round eyes,
would you let him
not
speak?
Pause.
I want to hear about the snake.
Well, I'm not going to take any risks. You know, the snake is a snake to me. Would he look pretty or ugly? You know, he still is a snake to me. So, because we are talking about, poisonous or not, I don't know, he's a snake to me. Because we are talking about powerful weapons and we're talking about strongholds.
Yeah.
Now, I did go out into the garage last night, and I've always, like I told my wife, I've always had a sense of danger. And everybody has this sense. Everybody has a spirit of discernment, you know, to know when things are going on or when things, something just don't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, we have babies have a spirit of discernment. Animals have a spirit of discernment. So we should always know when these flags or these alerts, you know, that naturally go off in your body. This is for warning of danger is near or danger is around. So because we are talking about strongholds and powerful weapons, you know, this is the reason why, you know, that we study these things. You know, we study these things because of danger that is always around. And you step into something or walk somewhere and you ain't even protected. You know, make sure that you are protected. Make sure you are protected. You know, you always protect yourself by being in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God every single day. You know, every single day.
Arm of God.
Every single day. Protect your mind. Protect your thoughts. You know, that place, especially that mind. Protect that mind because this is where Satan operates. Satan wants to operate right there in that place of your mind. Because if he can get your mind, he can control your whole body. Can control your destination. So yeah, take notes and you know and use this this information that my beautiful wife is feeding it to us. You know, just feed it to us. Pray, you know, with all prayer and proclamation.
Yeah,
you know, and learn what to do before you find yourself in that position that's just foreign to you. Then you don't know what to do. But this is that place. Bible study is that place where you can learn all you need to know before you end up being in that position.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. You are.
I'm full. I got food tonight. I got food on the hot plate.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I know something new.
That's important. I just want to make sure that it's useful information.
Well,
because a lot of the enemy is operating in plain view. And it's, the Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Hallelujah.
The Bible tells my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
When they don't know something, I ain't got time to hear that. They'll hang up or go or walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But then we perish because of lack of knowledge. And because we're in leadership role, we're supposed to feed the flock. You know, that's what the shepherd does. It feeds the flock. It tends to the flock. It guides the flock. And that's what we're supposed to do, you know, in culture.
Right.
So we can identify we can identify the snake that's in plain view. A lot of times they're operating within your house, you know, people that's around you, that's attached to you, is causing your sickness, causing your pain, that's causing your setback, that's causing you to keep operating in the past. But if we don't know that, we can't see it. But when you are fed the word and you understand, you can identify that thing and you can call that thing out.
Hallelujah.
And so, but when you don't know, you just continue to operate. And that's why, you know, there was always conflict. You know, you say, well, how does this information apply to me? It was a continual conflict.
Yes.
And we see even in the Old Testament, and even today, the continual conflict because people are still operating not fully, but halfway. So if you're not fully in, that means you're all the way out. If you're not fully in, you're all the way out. And so, and just, you know, we're just going to continue to talk about it, you know, and even with coming up next week, the tragic patterns, you know, continue to do the same old thing. And then we have generational curses. You know, how does that come about?
Yeah.
You know, doing the same thing. It becomes a pattern. Now it's a curse. It's generational.
Yeah.
You know, we set up a generational curse. It's affecting, you know, our children's generation to generation.
Yeah.
And then people are born into the curse, you know. Nobody broke it. Nobody decided they still was going to halfway do it. And they just trickled on down. But somebody had to break it. And so we learned that more even in this series of studying, pulling down strongholds and pulling, you know, these high places. So we thank God for all. If there's no more questions or comments, we'll go ahead and pray and close out our Bible study. I thank God for everyone once again coming to agreement, being here tonight.
Thank you.
We thank God
for
your members.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank God. Thank God. And so, you all remember we're on tonight at midnight. Oh, God is doing amazing things in our intercessory prayer at midnight and midday. I just thank God. It just feeds me. It energizes me. It strengthens me to carry on the push. And we get new people almost every day. And midnight is just something, the beginning of it, of new, that new day, that midnight hour, you all coming against it. Tonight we'll do prayers of deliverance as well as prayers of healing.
Amen.
And so we're going to continue praying the prayers of healing. So many people are dealing with stuff in their bodies, known and unknown things that are going on in our bodies that we're not aware of. We want to come against those things before you even go to the doctor. You know, we want to destroy that thing that's already trying to eat you away, that's trying to cause sickness. So we're going to be praying prayers of deliverance at midnight tonight, being delivered. Remember, we need to be delivered every day. You know, deliver ourselves because we live in this world and there's so much stuff going on. And you just, I don't even feel like myself today. What's going on? And so we're going to pray those prayers tonight. So you can be on at midnight tonight. And my husband will be online. My mother will be there. You know, we just have to say she's a part of it. She's there. Every chance she gets, she has set an alarm. And we know the enemy is trying to make you see 3 minutes before. You done waited up all night. You know, it gets to 11:57 and you fall asleep.
Amen.
What did they love?
Yes, I was just naming off of people that are there. Not most of the of us, you know, that be on there. But if there's someone, you know, that's in Bible study tonight that's not in there, hey, come in agreement. Come in there. Come on in. Come on into that place.
Come on
you know,
in. Sister Kanye is there. Sister Green, Angie Green, and Sister Darvina's on there. And my mama Carol Dilly, my Aunt Sharon is on there. We're on there. You know, midnight. We ready.
Come on in. Come on in. You know, we welcome you. I do want to say one thing.
Before we get out.
I want to say one thing. I heard my Aunt Sharon say this here in one Bible study. I heard Aunt Sharon say this here, and I agree with her. She said she walked in every single room of her house, and she was just praising God. Make sure you do that. Thank you, Aunt Sharon, for saying that. Make sure you do that. Make sure you protect your perimeter. Make sure you are walking in every single room of your home and praising God, because this is how you know that everything is all right. Because if you're not walking every room and, you know, you could be in that place of fear, and I don't know what's going on in there because I ain't seen it. Around your house, everywhere, make sure you are praying in every single inch of your home, every single inch of your property that God gave you for you to do. That's your work. That's for you to do, to secure the perimeter. Amen, every single day. And this is how you keep all these unwanted enemies out. You keep them out like that.
Amen. Because even a snake that was trying to get in, he could never get in. He was right at the door, but he could never go inside the house. You could see him squirming, because for some reason he could not come past the door. It was like something was blocking the snake from entering into the house. My husband had the door open to the kitchen, to the garage, and he just was continued to be. He let him stay there for a minute. He recorded, and
the
snake could never go inside the house, but he could just wait at that door. You know, squirming and going up with his head and going back down, but never able to bring his head up to come inside.
He cannot enter in. He cannot cross that threshold at all.
I had a similar situation. I had to kill two mice, and I felt really, really bad about it, but I had to get rid of them.
What happened?
I had to kill two mice. I had to kill them because they had got in here. And they really scared me, but then I've been thinking about that ever since I killed them two little mice.
You're all right.
And what we talk about is fear. It's fear. Is anything that come inside of your house, or anything that come inside of your mind that causes you to fear? Oh, you can better believe it. This is about to be a stronghold if it ain't already. And it's going to hold you.
Well, I killed them. Yes. That was Satan. I killed them.
Well, she was saying she killed them. She felt bad because she killed the little mice. She said, I felt bad because she killed the little mice.
I'm going to let you run your household like you want to run it now. So if you have to get rid of it.
Anybody else have any questions?
That's how you got rid of it.
Anybody else have any questions? Any comments?
No, just get y'all some snake away. That's all.
Hey, man, I got some.
All right. He already got some snake away. He went and got some. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay. All right. So, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done on this in this Bible study, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for revelation and knowledge and wisdom of your word, oh God, so that we can apply it to our daily lives. Father God, we thank you that you're doing a new thing, Lord God, in each and every one of us that's in Bible study on today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for your outstretched hand right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you touch every heart and mind, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for your promise, oh God. We stand in your promise, oh God. And we just thank you, oh God, right now that we are delivered, saved, set free, blessed, protected, healed by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, my Lord, my God. We can't thank you enough, but yet and still we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the key to the house of David. According to Isaiah 22:22, we take authority right now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to use these keys to the house of David to close off the lock, to shut, and to seal with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth as we pull down strongholds, oh God, setting a series of strongholds, closing all doors, portals, entryways, windows, and any other openings to prevent any demonic curses or demonic spirits, witchcraft prayers, ungodly, soulless prayers, demonic assignments, and satanic activities, deception, confusion, hindrances, or lies of the enemy that attempts to enter into our presence or the presence of anybody that we pray for today or in the future in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we use this key to the house of David according to Isaiah 22:22 in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth to open up all doors and portals, windows, entryways, and all openings to enable all blessings, gifts, and promises of God that you wish to give us to enter into our presence. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to encamp your warrant angels and guardian angels and ministering angels around us, around these openings to allow all blessings and gifts and promises of God to flow to us unhindered at all times in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you again for giving us the key to the house of David according to Isaiah 22:22. Heavenly Father, we ask you to crown us, oh God, with your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your goodness, grace, and your peace right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we receive the blessings, the gifts, and promises, and we apply them right now by faith to our lives, according to John 16:23. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us these things. We pray with your that your will be done in all things that we do in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you. Father God, I thank you for the life, health, and strength of my mother, Cara Dillard. I thank you for the life, health, and strength of my husband, Dorsey Manning. I thank you for the life, health, and strength of Miss Connie Northern. We thank you for the life, health, and strength of our sister, Sharon Mackey, our sister, Angela Green, our sister, Darvina Dudley. We thank you, Father God, for those that are on the line and in service. We thank you for the life, health, and strength of our daughter, Jamel Henderson, oh God, and everyone else that is in Bible study that we don't have their names, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for everyone, oh God. And Lord, we ask you to walk every household, the spirit of the living God, touch every heart, oh God. And we just want to say thank you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and we all say amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Again, you are out midnight tonight. We'll be on the 732 tonight at midnight. 732-434-2510. I don't know if somebody's saying something or not. Hello? Who was that? Amen. Hey, man, I don't know who that was, but I don't know. Okay. God bless you all. If you're talking in the background, just mute it down. Hi.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You all, if you want to sow a seed into the word that went forth tonight, you can do so at Cash App or either at Facebook on Pastor Chantel on Cash App or Facebook and Tawani Manning. God bless you all. We bless you all to prosper. We bless you all to be all God intended for you to be. We bless you to be an encouragement for others. We bless you to be able to bless others. We bless you to be able to love as Jesus Christ loved. We bless you to forgive as Jesus Christ loved. We bless you to grow in your spirit and draw closer to God. We bless you as a person worthy of all the blessings of heaven. We bless you to have a greater understanding and discernment in your spirit. We bless you because we love you. We bless you to enjoy peace. It is in Jesus' name that we come together. We believe and trust that we are saved, and we all say amen, amen,
amen,
and amen again. God bless you all. We'll see y'all tonight at midnight. All right. All right. We love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Receive it. All right. Love you, baby. God bless you.
I don't want to do nothing about it.
You don't want to.
All right.
Amen.
Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say,
fill me with love, so I'll give it back to you. You give me my hug, so you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. One time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time, one time,
one time.